Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Today's Gospel, from the Gospel of Luke, the blind beggar can't be silenced, unable to be silenced. He's doing the sort of thing that blind poor people would do throughout the ages in most cultures, is sitting along the side of the road, sitting in the marketplace, sitting somewhere where they could ask for mercy. The word for alms is connected to the word for mercy. He's just sidling along the side of the road, wanting help. And as there's this commotion that's going by that he can hear, he asks what it is. And they say it's Jesus of Nazareth going by, so he cries out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And they try to silence him. He cries out all the more. He can't be silenced. Why is it he can't be silenced? There's lots of times in our life, maybe, that we can't be silenced. We can't be silenced because we think we know so much, and somebody asks us a question and we don't shut up. Sometimes we can't be silenced because we're so critical. We're so critical of whoever, our spouse, our employer, our government, the Republicans, the Democrats, our priests, whatever it is, we're critical. And we can't stop talking, we can't stop gossiping. We can't be silenced because we can't. Often we can't be silenced because of our own sins. We're sinning with our mouth, with our tongue, the little instrument that steers the whole ship. But he couldn't be silenced for quite a different reason. He couldn't be silenced because he was profoundly aware, for two reasons. The first is this: he was profoundly aware of his own helplessness, of his own infirmities that constrained him and bound him in such a way that he couldn't take care of himself, let alone take care of anyone else, family members or neighbors. No money, no ability to see in a world in which that would really be debilitating, even much more so than in this world. So with a profound awareness of his own need for the help of others, he asks for mercy to anyone that he hears go by. So what he can't be silenced for is, he can't be silenced that he's the one who needs help. Unlike us, when we can't be silenced, it's often that we think somebody else needs help. Some other person has a problem, and we can't stop talking about it. But he couldn't be silenced because he wanted Christ to heal him. He was profoundly aware of his own need for change and transformation, not for the needs of others to be changed by Christ, but by himself to be changed. And then, of course, when he heard it was Jesus of Nazareth, he must have known something about him, because it doesn't say Jesus of Nazareth had mercy on me. He says Jesus, Son of David, meaning the Messiah, the one who comes, that has the promise to set things right, including healing the blind. And so it's these two aspects: the profound awareness of his own need, his own inability to change his life in a way that would really make it healthy and productive and profitable for himself and for others. And also the profound awareness of the one who can change it. In our world, in our culture, there's, and I'm sure at that time too, but proliferating now, lots of voices in the world that promise us health and salvation, ways to change our life, to better, to improve our life. I'm sure that many of them work in various ways, but they work in the confines of the structures of this world. Maybe helping us be a little more disciplined, or lose a little weight, or get a little more exercise, or eat a little more healthy, or whatever it might be. Maybe make us a little bit less discouraged or despondent. But of all of the voices that are there that promise us a certain kind of change or transformation in our life, we have to choose among them. And this blind beggar, when he heard the name of Jesus, he realized that this is one who doesn't speak simply as one among many voices in this world, but a voice that comes from outside of this created world. Not a creature speaking to fellow creatures, but a creator speaking to the creatures that he created. So it's these two aspects that we need in our life, and the universal understanding in the holy tradition of this text is not that we're physically blind, but that we're spiritually blind. And now comes the greatest rub in our lives, because we often don't have the intense awareness of our spiritual blindness that this man had of his physical blindness. The imagery and theme of blindness runs throughout the Gospels, and one of the great paradoxes is precisely this, that if you're physically blind, it's perfectly apparent to you that you're physically blind. But if you're spiritually blind, what it is that you're especially blind to is your blindness. This is the standard problem with the Pharisees that keeps getting pointed out. They're blind to their own blindness, their own spiritual blindness. We become blind to our own spiritual blindness. The most telltale way to realize that we're blind, the sort of symptom of our own spiritual blindness, is that we're so good at seeing the sins of others. So good at judging others, correcting others. This is clear in Matthew 7, Romans 2, that we can see the sins of others because they're actually in us. And by focusing our attention on the problems of others, the kind of self-righteousness, that becomes the way in which we hide from our own sins. And we'll make passing comments like, yes, I know I have my sins, but our focus, our attention, what it is that we can't stop talking about, we can't stop our mind from thinking about, is the problems of others outside of us. And this is the primary sign and indication that we're blind spiritually, and we're blind to our own blindness. And so where the mercy that we need to cry out to Christ for is the mercy to be able to see spiritually. The mercy that God would show us our sins and take our focus and our attention off the circumstances around us, the people around us that are troubled in various ways. This is illustrated quite beautifully in the life of St. Paul, and we had a glimpse of it in today's epistle, that phrase from which we get the prayer in our communion prayers, that Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am foremost, chief, first. I'm first in line of the sinners. And if you remember the conversion of St. Paul, as he often tells us in Philippians and Corinthians, a little bit in 1 Timothy before the text that we heard today. He was the Pharisee of Pharisees, the Hebrew of Hebrews. He knew the law backwards and forwards. As to the law, he was found blameless. A person of tremendous zeal, and as he says, a persecutor of the church. You couldn't have found a more confident person. A person who was more confident that he saw the world clearly and judged it clearly. And it's relevant to today's gospel that, if you recall his conversion described in the book of Acts, on the road to Damascus, he's struck blind, physically blind. And it's precisely the physical blindness which becomes the occasion for him to have his eyes opened by Christ, his spiritual eyes opened by Christ. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And so there's this need in our lives, as it were, to close our physical eyes, to stop looking at all of the problems around us and other people, all of the problems of the world, and ask God to open our spiritual eyes, to call out for mercy, and to not be able to be silenced in crying out to God for mercy. Not the plethora of other voices that would like to offer us help in this world, but Christ and Christ alone is the one who can truly open our spiritual eyes. what is so profoundly true of St. Paul is that he was willing to receive that mercy. He's clearly, surely, the most converted person in the history of the Christian Church. From one extreme of zealousness against the Church and against Christ to zealousness for the Church and for Christ. Not because he was a smart person or not because he was an energetic person, but because he was willing to let Christ's mercy so overtake him. Because he came to this realization that the blind beggar had, that he could do nothing of his own strength. He was totally helpless, totally deceived and confused, totally unable to judge right from wrong in the world, apart from the mercy of Christ. And so he not only cries out for mercy, but more profoundly, he's willing to receive what he longs for, what he cries out for. So let us, with the blind beggar and with St. Paul, cry out for the mercy of God, that he give us the sight that we need, the spiritual sight, and let us not be silent in crying out for our own souls, for our own helplessness to be healed. And then with St. Paul, as this epistle ends, and with the blind beggar, as the gospel ends, we too will give glory to the King of the ages, the only immortal one, the only invisible one, the only wise God, now and unto the ages of ages.
Amen.